All praise is due to Allah, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the Sovereign, the One who has no imperfections, and the One free of all flaws. We praise Him for guiding us to the religion of Islam, which He built upon five mighty pillars. I bear witness that no deity has the right to be worshipped except Allah, the owner of all majesty and honor. I further bear witness that Muhammad is his worshipping servant and messenger. May Allah's finest salah and salam be upon him, his family, and his noble companions and followers. To proceed, O people of Iman, observe the taqwa of Allah by obeying his commands and avoiding his prohibitions. Indeed, Allah loves the people of taqwa and has promised a favorable outcome for them. Taqwa is the key to attaining goodness in both this life and the hereafter. In support of this, He, the Most High, stated, "Those who observe taqwa of Allah will be admitted into gardens of paradise in the presence of their Lord, beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally, and will have purified spouses and attain Allah's pleasure. Most certainly, Allah is all-seeing of His servants." Likewise, He, the Absolutely Perfect, stated, "Had the people of the towns to whom we sent our messengers had Iman and observed taqwa, we would have granted them blessings from every direction." In addition, He commanded the Hajj pilgrims to continuously observe taqwa when He, the Most High, stated, "Take provisions for yourselves, and the best provisions is most certainly taqwa. Thus, O people of understanding, you must observe taqwa." He also commanded the creation as a whole to cooperate upon taqwa when He, the Most High, stated, "You must cooperate to fulfill Allah's commands and avoid His prohibitions, and you must not cooperate to perpetrate sin and transgression. You must also continue to observe taqwa of Allah. Indeed, Allah is severe in punishment." Observing taqwa of Allah is to hold fast to the religion of Allah and act upon His legislation out of fear of His punishment and hope in His reward. It is the religion of Allah which He perfected on this very day when He, the Most High, sent down His statement, "Today I have perfected your religion for you, I have completed my favor to you, and I am pleased with Islam as a religion for you." This religion of Islam comprises three levels, the highest of which is Ihsan. The Prophet, may Allah salam and salam be upon him, defined it by saying, "Ihsan is to worship Allah as though you see Him, and even though you do not see Him, most certainly He sees you." This was reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Furthermore, He, the Most High, stated, "There will be much good for those who have Ihsan in this world, and the abode of the hereafter will indeed be even better, and truly outstanding is the abode that will be granted to the people of taqwa." The second level of our religion is Iman, which consists of speech of the tongue, belief in the heart, and actions of the limbs. It increases with obedience to Allah and decreases when one is disobedient to Him. It comprises over 70 branches, the highest of which is the statement, La ilaha illallah, and the lowest of which is removing harm from people's path. Modesty is also among the branches of Iman. Similarly, among the branches of Iman are maintaining family ties, being dutiful to one's parents, speaking the truth, being respectful in one's speech, honoring contracts and covenants, and having good character. In relation to this, Allah the Most High stated, "Worship Allah and do not ascribe any partners to Him, and extend kindness to parents, kin, orphans, the needy, neighbors who are relatives or in close proximity, neighbors who are further away, the companions by your side, stranded travelers, and the slaves whom you may own. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are proud and boastful." He also stated, "O people of Iman, you must fulfill your obligations that binds you to others." In addition, He, the Most High, stated, "Messenger of Allah, tell my obedient servants to say the words that are best. When they fail to do that, Shaitan certainly sows enmity between them. Indeed, Shaitan is truly an open enemy to mankind. He likewise stated, good deeds are not equal to evil ones. Do good to people in exchange for them having done wrong to you. When you do so, you will find that if there was animosity between you and someone else, he will become like a beloved friend. However, none are guided to such praiseworthy qualities except those who patiently persevere, and none attain that level except those who will receive a tremendous reward. Among the branches of Iman is also to be patient during hardship, grateful during times of prosperity, and repentant and remorseful after committing sin and wrongdoing. He the Most High stated, indeed, it is only those who are patient that will be granted their reward without measure. He also stated, remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will grant you more. He further stated, ask your Lord forgiveness and then repent to him. If you do that, he will generously provide for you throughout your entire life, and he will grant every person the reward they rightfully deserve. As for the pillars of Iman, they are six. Iman in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, the last day, and Iman in his decree, both in its good and that which is perceived evil. He, the Most High, stated, rather, the truly righteous individuals who please Allah are those who have Iman in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books Allah revealed, and the prophets he sent. He, the absolutely perfect, also stated, we most certainly created all things by our decree and preordainment. Through Iman, salvation is attained, and one is granted success in both this life and the hereafter. He, the Most High, stated, Allah has promised the men and women who have Iman that he will admit them to gardens in paradise, beneath which rivers flow. They will abide there endlessly, and they will also have beautiful dwellings in the gardens where they shall reside. Moreover, Allah will be pleased with them, and this is certainly greater than all other blessings they shall enjoy. That reward is truly the greatest success. He further stated, as for those who have Iman and do not mix their Iman with the injustice of shirk, they are the ones for whom there will be security, and they are the ones who are soundly guided. Likewise, he stated, we will most surely grant victory to our messengers and the people of Iman, both in this world and on the day when the witnesses will give their testimony. Iman in Allah entails believing in him as the Lord, creator, and sustainer, and disposer of the universe, affirming that he is characterized by the loftiest attributes and the most beautiful names, and acting in accordance with what such belief necessitates. He, the Most High, stated, indeed, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then rose above his throne. He brings the night as a cover over the day, seeking it rapidly, and he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, all subjugated to his command. To him alone belong all creation and command. Allah is the possessor of infinite goodness, and he is the Lord of all creation. Call upon your Lord in private and with full humility. He certainly does not love those who violate the bounds he has set. Do not cause corruption on earth by committing sins, after Allah has put right by sending his messengers and establishing things in accordance with his legislations. Earnestly invoke him with fear and hope. Indeed Allah's mercy is near to the people of Ihsan. In like manner, we have Iman and his noble angels. He, the Most High, stated, the angels proclaim their Lord's perfection, praise him, and ask him to forgive his obedient worshipping servants upon the earth. We also have Iman in the scriptures that Allah has revealed, including the Torah and the Injil. Allah sent down the noble Quran as a confirmation of what remained true in them, a clarification of what was distorted, and an abrogation of certain rulings and directives contained in the earlier scriptures. He, the Most High, stated, "Allah is the one besides whom no deity has the right to be worshipped. He is the ever-living, the self-sufficient, sustainer of all. Allah sent this Qur'an down to you, containing complete truth and justice. It confirms the truth of what came before it. He sent down the Torah and the Injil prior to the Qur'an as guidance for mankind. And he sent down this Qur'an as a criterion to judge between right and wrong. He likewise stated, we have sent down to you this Qur'an in truth, confirming the scriptures that came before it, clarifying what had been distorted in them, and abrogating some of their legislations and directives. In addition to that, we have Iman in all the messengers of Allah, may Allah salam salam be upon them. He, the Most High, stated, indeed, we sent before you messengers, each to their own people, and they came to them with clear proofs. Then we inflicted punishment upon those who persisted in wickedness, and it was our duty to assist the people of Iman. Similarly, we have Iman in the last day, the day of resurrection, the day of recompense and reckoning, with all that it entails of paradise as a reward for the awliya of Allah, and the hellfire and punishment for his enemies. He, the Most High, stated, the abode of the hereafter is far better for those who observe taqwa. Will you not then understand? Likewise, we have Iman that Allah has decreed everything that occurs, and that all things are recorded in the preserved tablet. He has willed and created them. He, the Most High, stated, that is the established way of Allah with those prophets who have passed on before. Indeed, the command of Allah is a decree preordained. He further stated, indeed, Allah's command will inevitably occur. Allah has decreed a term for all things. This testimony that no deity has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone entails that worship belongs solely to Allah, the absolutely perfect, and no portion of it is to be directed to anyone else, not to angels, prophets, righteous people, or awliya. He, the Most High, stated, O mankind, you must worship your Lord who created you and created those before you in order for you to observe taqwa of him. Likewise, he stated, therefore, do not invoke with Allah another deity, lest you be among those punished. He, the absolutely perfect, also stated, say, O messenger, people of prior scriptures, come to a statement that is to be common between us and you. That we worship none beside Allah, that we not ascribe anything to him as a partner, and that none of us take others among us as lords besides Allah. However, if they turn away, say to them, bear witness that we submit to Allah in Islam. This establishes self-respect and honor. There is no humility or submission except to Allah the Most High. He the Most High stated, if Allah afflicts you with any type of hardship, there is none who can alleviate it except Him. And if He wants to grant you any type of blessing, there is none who can withhold His favor from reaching you. Among His servants, He causes whomever He wills to experience both good and bad, and He is the most forgiving, the bestower of mercy. As for the testimony that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, may Allah salam and salam be upon him, it necessitates obeying him in whatever he enjoined and prescribed, believing him in what he informed us of, and following his way in acts of worship. Therefore, Allah is to be worshipped only through what the messenger of Allah, may Allah salam and salam be upon him, brought. He, the Most High, stated, there has indeed come to you a messenger from among yourselves. It grieves him that you should suffer any hardship. He is concerned about your guidance and well-being, and he is kind and merciful to the people of Iman. He further stated, those who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet, whose description they find written in the Torah and Injil, which are the scriptures they already have with them. He also stated, if you dispute about anything, refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. if you truly have iman in Allah and the last day. Doing so is better than disputing or acting based on mere opinion, and it will produce the best outcome. Confirming that Muhammad, may Allah salam and salam be upon him, is the messenger of Allah, eliminates disagreement among the ummah, and unifies the source from which knowledge is taken. Through this, acts of worship are unified and their manner of performance is not subject to divergence. This protects us from falling into innovation in the worship of Allah, ensuring that we worship Him only through what has been revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. In this way, the creation of Allah is united and their hearts come together. The second pillar of Islam is the establishment of the prayer, which serves as a connection between the servant and their Lord. It is a means of salvation, an organizer of time, and a way to instill in the servants a sense that Allah is ever watchful over them. This trains them to fulfill their tasks and bear their responsibilities. Prayer comprises both outward and inward purification, as well as physical and spiritual. Congregational prayer builds bonds in society and cultivates mutual love among its members. He, the Most High, stated, consistently establish the 5 obligatory prayers as prescribed, especially the middle prayer, and stand before Allah with obedience and devotion. Furthermore, he stated, indeed, performing prayers is a duty upon the people of Iman at the appointed times. He also stated, indeed, prayer that is performed in the right manner deters one from immorality and wrongdoing. Similarly, he stated, the people of Iman are indeed successful, those who offer their prayers with full humility. Additionally, he stated, O people of Iman, when you want to perform prayers but are in a state of minor impurity, you must first perform wudu by washing your faces, washing your forearms up to and including the elbows, passing your wet hands over your heads, and washing your feet up to and including the ankles. If you are in a state of major impurity, you must first perform ghusl by washing your entire body. He likewise stated, continue to establish prayer as prescribed at the 2 ends of the day and in some hours of the night. Righteous deeds certainly wipes away sins. That's an admonition for those who take heed. In like manner, among the pillars of Islam is the giving of zakah, the allocation of a portion of one's wealth to designated recipients for the benefit of the wider community. It invigorates economic movement, purifies the soul from greed, miserliness, and selfishness, and nurture a spirit of generosity and selflessness. Moreover, it addresses the needs of the poor, reinforces social bonds, connects members of society, and fosters love, harmony, and a profound sense of social solidarity. Allah the Most High stated, you are to give the obligatory zakah. Whatever good you send forth for yourselves, you shall find it with Allah. Indeed, Allah sees all things that you do. He, the Most High, also stated, as for my mercy, it encompasses all things in this world. However, I will record my mercy in the hereafter for those who observe taqwa and give the obligatory zakah, and those who accept our ayat and submit to them. He further stated, take, O Prophet, from their wealth charity, which would purify them from their sins, cause their wealth to grow, and elevate them from the stations of the hypocrites to the stations of the sincere. He, the Absolutely Perfect, also stated, zakah is only for the poor, the needy, those employed to administrate it, those whose hearts are to be brought together for freeing slaves, for those in debt, for Allah's cause, and for stranded travelers. This is an obligation imposed by Allah. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. The fourth pillar of Islam is fasting the month of Ramadan. It trains the soul to be patient and resist desires, instills awareness of the suffering of the deprived, nurtures the soul to abandon harmful habits, weakens the hold of worldly attachments over the heart, fosters humility, and brings physical well-being. He, the Most High, stated, O people of Iman, fasting was prescribed for you just as it was prescribed for those before you in order for you to observe taqwa. The fasting prescribed is for a specific number of days. However, if any of you is ill or on a journey, they must fast the same number of days at another time. Then he stated, the month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was sent down as a guidance for mankind and as a clear evidence that show the correct path and distinguish between right and wrong. Therefore, everyone among you who is present for the month is to fast its days. And if anyone is ill or on a journey, he must fast the same number of days at another time. Allah wants ease for you, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. Furthermore, He has given you His directives for you to complete the prescribed number of days, for you to proclaim His greatness, for all the guidance He granted you, and so that you would be grateful to Him. As for the fifth pillar of Islam, it comprises what Allah has facilitated by His special aid for the pilgrims of His sacred house to perform the rites of Hajj. This nurtures within the soul a remembrance of the last day, reverence for the Lord and His commands, and the spirit of submission, compliance, and contentment. Hajj also fosters discipline and unity, includes feeding others through sacrifices, vows, and expiations, and promotes respect for time and using it purposefully. He, the Most High, stated, complete Hajj and Umrah for Allah. However, if something prevents you from completing them after you have assumed ihram, then you must offer a sacrifice that is within your means. He, the Most High, also stated, Hajj is in the well-known months. Thus, those who attempt to perform Hajj during them must avoid intercourse and its precursors, sins and disputing during Hajj. And whatever good you do, Allah indeed knows it. Then he stated, then when you depart from Arafah, engage in dhikr of Allah at Al-Muzdalifah, establish the dhikr that is due to Him for having guided you as you were indeed previously among the astray. Pilgrims to the sacred house of Allah, what the leadership of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia extends in terms of care and profound attention to the two holy mosques and the sacred sites is immense. What it provides to the pilgrims to the sacred house of Allah through its various services and security bodies in the forms of exceptional care and attention has enabled them to perform their Hajj rites and in safety, tranquility, and ease. It is incumbent upon every Muslim to comply with the regulations, instructions, and guidelines governing the Hajj. Doing so is part of fulfilling the higher objective of Islamic legislations. It is a religious and ethical duty and a mark of civilized conduct, reflecting the spirit of cooperation and discipline. It ensures the smooth movement of pilgrims and allows for the rites to be performed with ease and without hardship. Pilgrims to the sacred house of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, may Allah salam salam be upon him, stayed at Arafah after delivering his sermon and combining the Zuhr and Asr prayers in shortened form. He remained there until sunset, then proceeded to Muzdalifah, where he combined Maghrib and Isha, praying three rak'ahs for the former and two for the later. He spent the night there until he prayed Fajr and sat remembering Allah until the sky grew bright. He then went to Mina and threw seven pebbles at a Jamarat al-Aqaba, sacrificed his offering, and shaved his head, thus completing the first stage of exiting the state of Ihram. Then he went to Allah's sacred house and performed Tawaf al-Ifada, circling the Kaaba seven times, and returned to Mina, where he spent the nights, and continued the throwing of pebbles at the Jamarat during the 3 days of Tashriq. 21 pebbles each day, beginning with the smallest, then the middle, and finally Al-Aqaba. Supplicating after the first two, he also permitted pilgrims to leave after 2 days if they washed. Allah the Most High stated, "When you have completed your rites of Hajj, you must remember and make mention of Allah as you remember your forefathers, or with much greater remembrance. Yet among mankind are those who say, 'Our Lord, give us in this world,' while they shall have no portion the hereafter. And among them are those who say, 'Our Lord, grant us good in this world, good in the hereafter, and save us from the torment of the hellfire.' Those are the ones who will have a share of what they earned. And Allah is swift in reckoning, and engage in dhikr of Allah during the few appointed days. Then if anyone hastens to depart in 2 days, there is no sin upon him. And if anyone delays departure, there is no sin upon him. This applies to those who observe taqwa. Thus observe taqwa of Allah, and know that to him you will all surely be gathered. Pilgrims to the house of Allah, today is a virtuous day on which Allah frees many souls from the hellfire. He draws near and boasts before his angels about the people standing at Arafah. Therefore, increase in praising and remembering Allah the Most High and absolutely perfect, and earnestly call upon him, for this is one of the places where supplications are accepted. Allah the Most High stated, "Your Lord stated, 'Call upon me, I will most certainly respond to you.' O Allah, forgive our sins, ease our affairs, rectify our offspring, admit us to paradise, and protect us from the hellfire. O Allah, accept our Hajj and acts of obedience. Aid us in showing gratitude to you, remembering you, and worshipping you in an excellent manner. O Allah, grant your special assistance to the Muslims' leaders to do all that is good, and make them among the means of guidance and taqwa for others. O Allah, grant your special assistance to the custodian of the two holy mosques, King Salman ibn Abdul Aziz, and to his trusted deputy, Prince Muhammad bin Salman, and reward them with the best of rewards for all they have done and continue to do in service of Islam and the Muslims. Your Lord is absolutely perfect, the Lord of all might. He is far exalted above every falsehood they attribute to him. He grants salam to all of his messengers, and all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all creation. May Allah's salah and salam be upon his trustworthy messenger."